Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace, where your host is Overseer Sadie Elliott. I'd like to say good morning to each and every person that will tune into the program, whether this morning, evening, or night. And we have an exciting program today. I hope it's something that will be said or done today that will draw you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this broadcast, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that we need to be broken sometime, dear Heavenly Father, just like on that potter's wheel and being put back together, dear Heavenly Father. Thank you for a renewed mind and heart, dear Heavenly Father. Cover each and every person with the blood of Jesus that will listen to this broadcast, dear Heavenly Father. I give you the praise for what you're doing in my life today and everyone that's listening to me by the sound of my voice. In the blessed name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. Well, today, our broadcast and our show is on why we need to be broken. You know, I thought about that. Why we need to be broken. You know, unbrokenness is a fearful thing. It is the spirit of Satan, whose nature is incurable pride that can forever resist God. You know, God's greatest problem is not our sin, for he dealt with that on the cross, but the hardness and unbrokenness of our heart. That is God's greatest problem, the root of all our trouble. You know, the Bible has its list of unbroken people that's in the Word of God. And I'm going to give you some examples. Consider Pharaoh as one example. Pharaoh could have been Moses, but an incredible opportunity. He could have become like Ruth or Moab or Rahab the Hollow. He could have been the most incredible individual in history to join with Moses and lead the children of Israel. He could have said, Moses, we grew up together. You left Egypt. And I thought you was an idiot to give up all you had. But here I sit on this ivory throne with all the power in the world, yet I am so empty, lost and hopeless. My power and possession are just a show. I'm nothing. That's what Pharaoh was telling Moses. But Moses, I see in your eyes such authority. With stammering tongue, you simply say, let my people go. And the heavens stand by you. I tremble at your words, Moses. I give up. You be my agent of reconciliation. Now, this is what Pharaoh is saying to Moses. Let me follow you. What do you want me to do? Pharaoh could have done that, but he didn't. He refused to be broken. At every opportunity, with each of the plagues, his heart became harder and harder. You know, as I was going through the scriptures, I was finding quite a few people that why they need to be broken. You know, King Saul is another example. What incredible possibility the man had. God chose him to be the very first king of Israel. You know, when you think about that, what an honor. He began as a humble leader, but over the years, little by little, he began to harden his heart. He refused to be broken of his own ways, and in the end, It was the very thing that killed Pharaoh. You know, when I went to the book of Numbers, we read of the one most frightening stories in the Bible, the story of Korah. Like the others, he hardened his heart and infected the entire Israelite camp with his ignorance. But you know, unlike the others, no external circumstances caused him to fall. No snake came and bit him, causing his death. There was no heat or no heart attack. There was no body killing him or him committing suicide. No, sir. God himself ripped open the earth and swallowed him up. You'll find that in Numbers 16 and 32. You know, each of these men paid a great price because their unbrokenness. And please notice how this unbrokenness did not just affect them, but also the people they led, loved, and lived with. You know, the same thing happened in our lives when we refused to humble ourselves. Not only does our resistance prolong the process and delay the good work the Lord is trying to bring about in our life, but it also affects those around us. You know, oftentimes when we resist the work of God, our family and loved ones suffer. Our relationships and our jobs suffer because we become difficult people, hard to get along with, and living with internal tension that soon manifests itself in our external lives. You know, I thought about that. Brokenness is a fearful thing. Why? I'm glad you asked. It is so fearful because any one of us has the ability to harden our heart in the same manner as Pharaoh, King Saul, or Korah. And by this set ourselves as enemy of God. You know, the scripture tells us that we need to humble thyself. God opposed the proud, but give grace to the humble. You'll find that in James 4 and 6. This is a strong verse. You could make anybody your enemy and still somehow survive some way, but you don't want to make God your enemy. We do this by having a prideful heart. You know, I thought about that. And this is some example some people have sometimes. You know, sometimes I wonder though why I had to go through some awful experience. Because each and every one of us have to be broken before any of us can fully live lives as God has created us to live, we must first die to our desire to control our lives or to live life according to our plan and will. You know, some things has to die for life to begin. Just think about it. Some things in your life, you couldn't understand why, when they came about, you thought you had everything on top of the world. But then things started crumbling down, and you said, well, what's going on? You're being broken sometimes. You know, one important passage of scriptures on brokenness in the Bible is John 12 and 24 and 25. In preparing, you know, his disciple for his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produced many seeds. You'll find that John 12 and 24. You know, as long as you hold a kernel of grain in your hand, you have only one grain. You can place it on the floor, put it on a windowsill, or even place it under a glass dome and keep it forever. But it will still be only one grain. Nothing will come of it or from it. Eventually, it will rot and turn to dust. You know, once you take that seed, however, and drop it into the earth and cover it up with soil, you have positioned it to die. But this time, with the purpose of reproductive life, the element in the soil, the heat of the sun, and the marshes and the earth will all work on the outer shell of that seed. Before long, the outer shell breaks, and the little green sprouts begin to push up its way through the soil, just like when you plant a plant, until eventually it breaks through into the sunshine. And when you get up one morning, you see that beautiful plant, and you forgot that you had planted those seeds. You kept watering it and watering, and finally one day, that seed came up. You know, a root began to grow downward and anchor the seed to the soil. The seed itself disappeared as a stalk of grain that grows and eventually produces an ear of corn or a head of wheat. You know, that ear of corn or head of wheat holds dozens of grain. Each of us has the capacity to grow into a plant of its own. My. When you think about that, why we need to be broken. For one grain a week, a person could eventually plant 1,000,000 acres of wheat. If all he did was replant all of the fruits of one grain, then all of the fruits from his grain and so forth. You know, Jesus was teaching that as long as the grain remained alone, unplanted, unyielding, it cannot bear fruit. You know, before his life could be extended and multiplied, Jesus had to die. Once he had died and risen again, his life could be multiplied millions of times, just as it had been torn, been down through the centuries. Those of us who have accepted him as our Savior and have been forgiven of our sins had our name written in the Lamb books of life because he was willing to die. When you think about brokenness, we must break ourselves of our intense love of self if we are ever to allow God's love to envelope us and fill us, you know. And as I was going through the scriptures, you'll find a lot of passages of scripture. And in this one, in Matthew 10:39, and holding on to our own desires and our own will, we lose. And letting go and letting God have control, we win. You may be asking, but why does God require that something be put to death in order for it to be made alive? We got to put this flesh to death. You know, the fullness of God's reasons are known only to God. But we can see that this principle holds true throughout his creation. And, you know, I was thinking about that. In James 4:6, a word denotes rage in a battle again. I'm sure you agree this is a bad deal. If for some reason I got angry with you, you could punch me back. But if God become angry with you and resist you, you will have no chance. We bring disaster upon ourselves when we walk in pride, and ultimately, we cut ourselves off from his grace. You know, the only way to receive his grace and favor is to be broken and humble before him, our Savior. And this is something scripture says we are responsible for. The Bible never says God will humble us. The only place where God humbles individuals is in the case of Nebuchadnezzar or Belshazzar, a situation where he said, either you fall on this rock and be saved, or the rock will fall on you and powder you. I'm just, you know, paraphrasing that. You can read that in Daniel 2:34-35. Now, we don't want these things and the rocks to fall on us. We want to be able to fall on the rock, because if the rock fall on us, just think about, we won't even be around. We're going to be just like it says, powder. You know, we must humble ourselves. You'll find that in James 4 and 10. We must choose to walk the road of brokenness. We are told to put on the garment of humility. This brokenness is not just an outer garment. It is not just, you know, how, when you think about it, how can we understand the condition of our heart to know whether it is humble and broken or strife and unbending? In Jeremiah 17 and 9 tell us, the heart is deceitful above all things and despairingly wicked. Who can know it but God? Why we need to be broken. You know, things come up in our lives that we don't understand all the time. But God is breaking us. And to me, he's putting us, I'm just using this as for me, he's putting us back on that potter's wheel because he wants to put some more things in us. He wants to take some things out of us. Sometimes we have to come to some hard decision when we're being broken. Some things that we think should go this way, but God want them to go another way. But he's going to see if you make the right decision or you're going to pass your test. And then some things have come up, even in my life, and I feel I'm on a test. So that means I need to do what's right because when I'm being broken, I want to come back out as pure gold. I want to pass my test. No matter what it look like, no matter what it seems, I know we all need to be broken. And you know, as I was reading the scripture, the word of God said, Jesus went on to say, the man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. You'll read that in John 12 and 25. You know, we must be willing to die to our affection, dreams, desires, ambitions, and goals. And then be totally willing for the Lord Jesus Christ to have his way in our lives. Only then can we truly know life to the fullest and find our purpose in life, realizing complete. We must die to self in order to become one of ourselves, an eternal ourselves. You know, we must break ourselves of our intense love of self if we are ever to allow God's love to envelope us and fill us. You know, I have discovered through the years that those who are young sometimes have a more difficulty time submitting their life completely to the Lord. They see the future stretched out before them. Fear places, you know, hometowns. And when you think about it, all of the things Satan holds out as not only desirable, but necessary for our identity in the future, or deception. His intent is not to see a person blessed, but rather to bring about a person's doom. If there is anything in our lives that we think we just can't live without, that should be a warning sign to us to reevaluate our relationship with God and to take another look at our priorities. You know, Jesus clearly taught, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? You know, for the pagan run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek, the word of God says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. You find that in Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 31st through the 33rd verse. And today we are talking about brokenness. Why we need to be broken. You know, we go through so many things in our life. And we always ask the question, why? Now we ask, how do this come about? And you know, I've thought about that. Satan holds out not as only desire but necessary for identity. His intent is not to see a person blessed, but rather to bring about a person doomed. God knows what you need. He knows what is best for you, including in what quality. The fact is, we can live with very little, but we can never truly live without God. I'm going to say that one again. The fact is, we can live with very little, but we can never truly live without God. He is what we need first, foremost, and always. He is the only one whom we truly can't do without. I've learned that through the years. When mother and father, sister, daughter, grandmother, grandfather is gone off the scene, when you look around, who do you have? You have Jesus. And you got everything because he will sustain you. You know, the things that Satan holds out to us as must have for the future are passing, temporal things. If we are willing to give up striving for these things and seek after them no matter the cost, and instead turn to God, he will satisfy all of our longing for the future with perfect fulfillment. If we are willing to give up defining our own future, he will give us something better than we could ever arrange, manipulate, or create. His best will be ours, but only if we are willing to die to ourselves independently, street, and to submit our lives completely to him. Today, we are talking about why we need to be broken. I remember one time, I know God wants to set our goals. We know, I'm going to tell you about me. I don't know about you, but I had a blueprint for my life that I wrote down in a journal. I want to do this, 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 and I want to be this, this, and this, and I want to, you know, all of us have had that in our life. But God wants to set our goals. We might as well just throw those things down, what we wanted to do. Did you ask God, what is the blueprint? See, I had one blueprint for my life, but God let me know he had another blueprint for me. And a young woman had asked me, and she had heard me preach about this. And she said, Overseer, is it wrong to set goals? It seemed to me that you are saying that we should just live day to day, trusting God and not having any plans or goals. It's not wrong for us to set goals. What's wrong is when we set goals apart from asking God what his goal for us might be. We must always approach our goal setting with earnest prayer, asking what it is, God, that you desire for me to do and see and be. Our prayer must be the same as the one that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not as I will, but as you will. And you'll find that in Matthew 26 and 39. I'm going to take a little break here. Before I play some music, do I have any callers that's on the air would like to say something at this time? You can press 1 on your keypad. And if not, I will play us some music for a little while.
Come on and give the Lord a good shout of praise in the house. Worthy is his name. Righteous is his name. Holy is his name. How many of you know that faithful is the name of our God? We'll make a joyful noise.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we have a caller now on the air. Caller, would you like to say something on why we need to be broken? You're now on the air, area code 832.
Well, praise the Lord to everybody. I am on my way to on a trip right now, but I just wanted to call in and let you know I've been listening to the sermon today called Broken, Being Broken, and if you are broken, God can clarify everything that needs to be defined in your life when you're broken. The brokenness comes to us because we have a need to obey, or maybe we're not listening. Maybe we have not completed the duties and the responsibilities that God has ordained for us to do. And on the other hand, being broken allows us, as it did the disciples when they sat with the Lord, and some went to sleep when he went up on the mount to pray, and they said they fell asleep. When the Lord returned, he said, couldn't you wait for me? Couldn't you watch 1 hour? Sometimes we find ourselves falling short, not by way of really meaning to do so, but due to the fact that we have some impurities in our lives, and these things need to come out of our lives. So if we're broken, God knows how to purify us because we pray more, or we get closer to God when we are broken. In our family relationship, in a marriage, if a broken marriage, a disjointed marriage, brings in a whole lot of changes, and many times we're not ready for change. But God says in order to see him, we must get rid of every little fiber that doesn't fit into the cloth. There can be nothing lingering. There are no spots or wrinkles can be in the life of us as Christians. So being broken allows us to polish up, straighten up, look at ourselves in the mirror. And if you've never looked at yourself in the mirror, look at yourself in the mirror, and you'll see some definite positive changes. You'll see some defects. You'll see some loyalty. You'll see some royalties. But most of all, you'll be able to evaluate who you really are in the sight of God. And we look at ourselves sometimes as mystical beings, or, you know, I know I've done this. Yeah, I prayed this morning. It has nothing to do with the right relationship with God. Prayer will change things if we allow it. But in the relationship of God, we must know who we are. We must be able to define the relationship or the relativity that we have with Christ Jesus. We also must be able to understand that his word is positive and it's true. And he said, I make no mistakes and I make nothing junk. Everything I made is good. In the relationship to everything being made by God is good, whether we look at it as a defective monument or defective portions in our bodies or whatever, because I've seen God use paraplegics to take a microphone and speak the word of God. I've seen God take people without arms and legs and use them to preach the gospel. I've seen God do many things that by many disorders or the things that we look at that may be things that need to make a change. But God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows how to handle every situation. He knows how to handle every relationship. He knows how to take care of the issues in our lives. He knows how to perform surgery when we have no idea that surgery is being performed. He knows how to take us and make us what we need to be. He knows how to extract and subtract. He knows how to add and divide. He knows how to look at us as an individual, and he knows how to look at us as a cooperative body of Christ that's functioning when the times have come that we must obey the gospel. How many of us obey the gospel? Well, very simply, if we run and not be weary, if we walk and not faint, and know that in these times of the times of dilemmas, when we find ourselves inferior to what we're doing, short of change, can't pay our bills, whatever the case may be, God said, I am. And we have to look to him as the I am. He is the source. He's the resource. He's the confident. He's the plan. He's the man. He's the opportunity. And above all, he is the maker of the kingdom of God. Be blessed in Jesus' name, and God bless you.
Thank you so very much, caller, for calling in today. and speaking on why we need to be broken and given more clarity on this topic. Thank you so much, caller. And continue on listening in. Please, ma'am. You know, we are Christ's workmanship. When you think about it, who's responsible for your accomplishment and success in life? Do you consider that you are responsible for who you will become and what you will succeed in doing? Or are you relying on God to live his life through you and to change you so that he might use you for his purpose, having the mind of Christ? You know, there are two very different perspectives. We rarely view quickly or easily to the brokenness if we believe that we hold our destiny in our own hand, which we don't. You know, the wise person faced the reality that God both deserves and demands the right to everything that we are. He has the authority and the right to express his life through us, through our lips, our eyes, our hands, feet, body, thoughts, emotions, in any way he chooses so. We are not merely to be reflective of the way Christ was, but we are to be living, walking, expression of the life of Christ in the world today. You know, the Bible tells us that once we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we do not own ourselves, and we do not govern or determine our own future. You know, I read in there that Paul wrote, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You'll find that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 10. You know, just as you didn't earn your salvation, so you are not responsible for achieving your own glory in him. You are God's workmanship from start to finish. God leads and guides you into the good work that you are to do for him. Works that are totally in keeping with the talent, skills, experience, and ability he has given you. When you think about, people say, you have so many talents, skills, ability. God gave you that. He didn't want to give you the skills, the experience, the ability, the talent. It was God. We didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, this is me, I'm going to do this. God give you everything that you have. So you know, sometimes we need to be broken. We can't get the big head. We can't think we done arrived. No. You know, when I look back on my life, I stand in amaze at how God has moved me from place to place, from experience to experience, always positioning me to take the next step in my life. Always putting me into places and situations so that he might refrain or develop something within me that will be useful to his purpose later on. You know, I think about it as a teenager. I used to make money to buy my clothing and other things that I needed. But one night I was talking to a friend, and he was selling papers. And I told him I believe the Lord was calling me into ministry. I said, you know, I've got to go to school. I don't have any money for that. I didn't even know this person well enough. I was just talking about our lives in a casual way. And at that precious moment in our conversation, I met someone, a pastor that was passing by. And he said, believe the Lord had called him and me to preach. Do you think you can help him go to school? Well, the preacher said, I might. Why don't you come by and see me? But at that time, I didn't know what it was. I thought it was to become a nun. I wanted to be an interior decorator. But God was pulling on my heart from young. I didn't know what it was, missionary. You know, just different things. And so I kept saying, well, God, what is it? I know what I'm doing now is more than what you want me to do. And as I talked with other seniors at that time in my neighborhood and kept going to school, kept studying, and I said, well, God, you direct my path. Because I have one blueprint for my life, but you letting me know that you got another one. And so it's a lot of things he had to break off of me, where I thought I should go here, should be there, and so do this and do that. But I realized I had to be broken, too, of all the things that I was thinking, the things I wanted to do, that wasn't where he was leading me to. Things I saw other young people doing, I said, I wonder why I can't do that. I didn't have a desire to do them, but they would talk about what they do and where they went, but God showed me that's not the life I got for you. I didn't worry the Lord anymore about that. I didn't try to go seek this or go try to go where they was going and do the things they was doing because God had already started preparing me for the work he wanted me to do. So, you know, God is not only our orchestrator, but our composer. Christ Jesus is the author and finisher of our lives. You know, as long as we sit, we insist on writing our own story, we cannot write his. You know, he's living within our heart, each one of us that's on this line or we're living to this, listen to this broadcast later on. You know, as long as we insist on forgetting our own path, he cannot lead us into his path of righteousness. As long as we insist on governing our own lives, he cannot be our sovereign king and Lord. As long as we insist on living life according to our own desires, he cannot impart his desire or guide us into his wholesomeness, fruitfulness, and blessing. You know, as long as we feel that we are in control of our fate, we cannot experience fully the destiny he has for us. So we have to be broken sometime in this life. We are his workmanship. When we act otherwise, we are breaching our trust relationship with God and are refusing to submit our lives fully to him. You know, and with that prospect to be unlimited opportunities. You know, Satan tricks them into thinking that the future cannot be good without this relationship or the fulfillment of this desire or pursue this vocational commitment or acquisition of a particular possession. They begin to pursue what Satan holds out as an ideal way to live. I learned that a long time ago. That ain't what God wanted me. He showed me in his plan. And my plan had to include God and not Satan. And I thank God to today. You know, because the result of pursuing what Satan holds out as desirable is a spirit of striving, and striving is hard work. It depends solely on what an individual person is capable of doing or of convincing others to do. You know, striving has an element of greed to it. There's always more to be achieved, achieved or acquire. Striving has self at its core. It wants what it wants when it wants it, you know. When a person is striving for something, she has little or he has little regards for harm that may be done to others, or even to his or her own body or soul. Striving is raw ambition, and ultimately striving is bondage. You know, the illusion that Satan holds out as being objects that give value, meaning, and worth to one's life are just that, illusion. You know, you have to think about that. You can struggle and scrape and claw through with all your energy year after year, never arriving. What appeared to be life-giving is actually dry dust. You know, it's wrong to like quality things or to purchase the best you are able to afford. Is it wrong to desire things in this life? Is it wrong to want to succeed in your work? No, I'm not saying that. What is wrong is when we feel we can't live without those things. What is wrong is substituting the acquisition of things, relationship, and accomplishment for relationship with God. When you realize that you have more with God and how happier you'll be with God, you won't let the enemy tempt you on all these worldly things. When we set our eyes on the accomplishment of our goals, we nearly always lose sight of God. Goal for us. God have goals for us, you all. Only when we make our relationship with our God our number one priority can God bring us into a position where we can achieve and receive that will truly satisfy him. Today we are talking about some things and giving you some examples and some people in the Bible why we need to be broken. And we all have been broken in this life. We're going to continue on being broken on some things out of our life. Sometimes God has to move people, relationships, family, friends. We have to be broken. And, you know, nobody want to be, they don't feel like, no, I'm macho, I'm mask, I'm this and I'm that. And, no, we get the wrong idea. Sometimes we're doing the wrong things. We're thinking the wrong thoughts. We need to be broken from thoughts, from people. Some churches, we have to be broken. You know, the Lord searched the heart and test the mind. And when the Lord in his mercy and grace revealed to us the pride, stubbornness, and unwillingness in our hearts, we must be willing to say, Lord, that's the area you are showing me. I humble myself and I repent. But if we refuse to do that, we make God our enemy. He will oppose us. God's grace no longer be given. But we want God's grace, you all. We don't want to be cast aside, broken, thrown away like a toy. We want to be mended and put back together. And so for a few minutes, I'm going to play. Did we have anything else for any of our listeners today that like to say something on why we need to be broken? I would love to hear from some of our listeners in the radio listening. Area code 832, would you like to say anything else? Well, at this time, we'll play another song.
Help us sing tonight.
Praise the Lord. God is so awesome. So awesome. Coming to the final of the show today on why we need to be broken. In our segment today, we use tag words as humble, grace, favor, humility. And, you know, I just thank God for this show today. And I was thinking on my closing today, I want to thank everyone that have come to the show today and listening and tuning in, whether you're at work, you're at home, whether you're in the doctor's office. I want to thank you so much. Are you riding in your car and getting it on your pad or whatever? I thank you all for coming in. Write Joy and Peace and let them know how you enjoy the show or what would you like to hear on it. But on our last closing remark, you know why we need to be broken? You know, sometimes we have so many desires and pressures from different things in our life, and we start doing things, and then we have to realize, did God tell you to make that move that you just made or accept this job you took? He hadn't even asked God about it. You know, we don't ask God about things. We jump up and do things out the clear blue, but did we consult God about it? You know, we need to ask God what his desire is for each and every one of us, and what should we do? And today, I hope all of you all have something out of why we need to be broken, because sometimes he has to break us to make us. And we want to be made sure we are made whole. We are everything that God wants us to be. We all have flaws. We understand that there's nobody perfect, not a perfect Christian, because Jesus was the example. But we all have the mind of Christ, and we can live like God wants us to live. And I want to thank each and every person for coming to the line today on why we need to be broken. I hope it was something said today from me or the guests that came on that enlightened you and helped you along your Christian journey. Just remember, Pharaoh could have done that too, but he didn't. He refused to be broken. How many of us today are refusing to be broken? At every opportunity, with each of the plagues, his heart became harder and harder. You all, we don't want our hearts to become harder and harder. We want God to be able to use us. So that means sometimes we got to be broken on this side in the natural so we can go on over into the supernatural. I want to thank all of my guests that came on today. You all have a wonderful and a blessed week. The rest of the week, I love each and every one of you all. Stay tuned for next week. And we'll have another exciting topic that we'll be talking about next week. So stay tuned. Come back next week that you may be blessed. And until next week, love each and every one of you all. Bye-bye.